He's looking for worshipers who produce something. Come on, Southwest Missouri, you've been called to disciple nations. Worship leaders and worship groups, you have been called to disciple nations. And never has there been a time before when you had such access to nations. With a click of the button, someone can be discipled by what you do. Somebody can tune into your service or watch your song on YouTube, and their life can be forever marked. And God intends for us to position ourselves to become a people to allow His presence to flow through our lives in such a way that redemption begins to work, not just for us, but through us.
Burn in us a passion to make Your glory known. Birth in us something that can shift the atmosphere.
And we declare a shift in the name of Jesus. We declare a divine shift over the atmosphere of Southwest Missouri. A shift away from depression and into hope. A shift away from uselessness into purpose in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I am your host. Who defines what's possible for your life? Who has set the limits and boundaries on your mind and heart that prevents you from stepping out and doing something amazing? Who would you be if your actions weren't limited by fear or impossibility? Doctors and scientists said that breaking the 4-minute mile was impossible, that one would even die in the attempt. But in 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. His record would only stand for 46 days. It just goes to show that when one person steps out in courage, it releases others to do the same. The truth is, anything is possible. When you begin to dream with God, you are defining the course of human history, and you are beginning to become all that He has dreamed for you. You begin to live a life without limits, and you begin to advance His kingdom in a way that empowers others to advance with you. What would our cities look like if we all took our places without fear as sons and daughters of our wonderful Abba Father? On this week's podcast, I have a conversation with one of Worship Mob's founders and worship leaders, Garrett Shinoff. Worship Mob is a Colorado collective of worship leaders and musicians who have connected with a global audience through over 8 million YouTube views. Worship Mob was founded by Colorado Springs worship leaders Sean Mulholland and Garrett Shinoff. Almost 4 years ago, the group began as a weekly gathering between two local worship teams. And today, the Mob represents 25 churches through 70 to 80 ministry leaders who meet weekly to worship, pray together, and encourage one another. Worship Mob's debut album, Carry the Fire, is being released by Integrity Music on Tuesday, March 3rd. And it is a powerful record that captures the Mob-style heart of worship and the never-back-down attitude as sons and daughters of God. Garrett and I talk about how Worship Mob got started, its culture, and some of his dreams for the future. Garrett is truly an amazing person. I love his heart, his transparency, and I am so glad to have been able to connect with him. Thanks everybody for listening, and enjoy my conversation with Worship Mob's Garrett Shinoff.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
Garrett, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. I'm so excited to be here. We were already talking. We have like hearts. And so yeah. I'm just really excited about what God's doing there.
Yeah, super cool. I wanted to just start out. Obviously, you're affiliated with Worship Mob.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are going to know who Worship Mob is. Obviously, it's almost a cult following around the world. But some people have yet to discover you, which is really cool. So why don't you just take a second, tell us
what Worship Mob is, how it got started, and what is your role in Worship Mob?
Well, okay. Basically, it's a tough question because there's been so many different like variations as God has been moving it toward different seasons, you know? And so it's about 4 years old now. My buddy, my friend, just decided, he just felt like God was saying, you know what, we need to get people together to unify so people can begin to see the gifts inside of each other and not feel so isolated. And so part of it was about like a hospital for worship leaders where they could come with other, other people that are like them that and pour into each other and create good music together. And so, and then also to be poured into. And so it was like, that was the original kind of vision. So Sean, my buddy who started, he's the founder. Basically, he bought all this equipment, the best he could afford, essentially, and like just started bringing other churches together. And then it just started like growing where something unique was happening. And so Worship Mob basically has grown into this thing where we have about, 40 churches involved, you know, or representatives for 40 churches, 200 musicians have played. But basically on one Thursday night, we'll be just for the people there. You know, like ministry for the people that just come to our Thursday night gatherings in Colorado Springs. Okay. And then the next Thursday will be more like, okay, we're going to come now. And it's all about expressing God's light and love outside of the walls.
Oh, wow.
And so we'll record with whoever is there. The band is different every single time. It's just kind of like whoever, a little bit of structure. And then what ends up happening is we want people's heart and spirit forward, not talent forward per se.
Yeah.
So not like, hey, these specific parts, but no, we spend a couple hours just in his presence and speaking life and hope and new covenant identity over each other and let God speak through, you know, and then develop just real community and trust. And then we kind of, when we feel ready, usually about 2 hours in, then all of a sudden we'll go downstairs to the basement where there's, you know, cameras already set up and whatnot. And then we just press record and see what happens, kind of a thing. And then what's happened is people have, I think their spirit has basically caught on to something that they're like, what is that? What is this thing? It feels like life. It's like penetrating deeper into like people's spirits and hearts, you know, and they can feel the difference because it's this tangible presence thing. And then it draws everybody closer to each other because God's love is at the center of it. That's what we're finding. And more people are wanting to be involved in something like that. And so now we have Worship Mob gatherings kind of all around the world and just about a lot of countries now. I don't know how many, but at least 50.
Wow.
And so it's basically this, you know, YouTube provided a format now that you can kind of get stuff out there to the world. So a lot of people are using the videos that we have done as their worship service videos that they can't afford to worship leaders, like in Africa and in Philippines and all of these different places. So it's all these tentacles that we never expected at all. We were just trying to get together and love on each other and start building each other up in Christ. That was our whole goal. And then it just started, you know, God took it. Because our gatherings, when we get together, we expect everybody to use their gifts to love each other.
Yeah.
And so we just call it out. Hey, listen, if God put somebody on your heart, go talk to them, man. No big deal. We take all the pressure off of it. Just talk to somebody, man. Just love them. They're God's kid, and so are you. And he's empowered something in you to love something in them. Right. And so that's kind of the culture we've created. And so I don't know if that gives you kind of the pieces, you know, that you can see the Spirit of God like moving, you know, through that. It's been spectacular to watch.
So what is your role? I mean, do you have a specific role in all this? Or what?
It's one of those things where it's like it's so organic that it's not like, it doesn't run like a normal organization. We literally, at the very beginning, we're like, hey, God, you're going to run this thing. We're going to like literally give it a direction, say, hey, we're going after his heart. We're going to let him love us more than us try to love him, you know, first.
Wow.
And then we just really just release the atmosphere. And then all of a sudden what happens is it just starts happening. God starts like using the gifts. He starts moving that stuff around. And so my role is really just to make sure it's like, I guess they call me like the pastor, but it's really not like an official thing. It's just I end up pastoring a lot of the hearts there because God has pastored, Abba has pastored my heart through my life. And so therefore, I just want to like pull everybody's gifts to the surface. And that's kind of what I do. And so I kind of like lead the charge, so to speak, you know, in a lot of the gatherings we have to get it pointed in a direction that's kingdom minded.
Why do you think there has been such a huge response to the culture that you created with Worship Mob all over the world?
Because I think there's an authenticity to it and there's a spirit to it that a lot of, I don't know, it's just sometimes when we get all together, it just becomes very formulaic and very head forward and knowledge forward and you know, do these three steps forward. And we get this kind of message, and a lot of times, at least I do, where it's like, okay, get over your issues by doing these next three steps, you know, use these things, as opposed to, hey, the living God of the universe lives inside of you. And he's not just lives inside of you. He's made you perfect in Christ. Like literally you're whole. You have every access to the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just believe it and like trust that God's, his forgiveness is unconditional. His love is really agape. You know, it really looks like 1 Corinthians 13. That's exactly what he looks like. Then he becomes something we run toward. And so what we're doing is basically taking off a lot of, I guess, performance stuff, shame stuff, stuff that keeps people feel like they have to be in the shadows because they're not breaching a bar. And what that is like literally the opposite of how God has always treated me. So that's kind of that culture has been created. Like, listen, God is totally for you. He is loving all the time, and there is nothing separating you besides your own lack of belief in what Christ even did for you on the cross.
Yeah.
And so that message, it just never gets old when you just let it ring out for what it is without putting any conditions or barriers or fear-oriented things around it or control it. And that's what we're finding out is what people are jumping on board to. And it's just kind of like it actually feels like good news to a lot of people, and then they're encountering love, a lot of them, for the first time.
Wow. That's powerful. It's really powerful.
Really cool. It's really cool to watch. You can see it in people's eyes when they're actually, what's happened is there's a vulnerability. That's what really we've seen. Like when you can trust the people around you, their hearts for you. And when you really create an atmosphere where there's not shame and there's not like, hey, do this thing better. But like, man, I'm going to love you and see what's going on in your heart and what wounds you have that I can help tend to so that we can get those things out and love can sink into the place where some deep insecurity is right now. And when you create a culture where people are looking at people through the eyes of love and not through the eyes of judgment, it literally changes everything people start their real selves. They start believing in their own, you know, in their own gifts and abilities, you know, and they start watching Jesus work through them. And that to me, it's like once you see the power of God working through you to love someone to health, it's so like addictive. It's like, I want to do that more and more and more. And so what we're finding is people growing so quick like weeds once you take care of the barriers of like performance orientation.
That's amazing. So you've obviously, like we said, you know, got some attention around the world.
Yeah.
Attracted some attention. But more recently, you've attracted the attention of Integrity Music.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That was really interesting because, you know, Sean and I, you know, as we're trying to like help, you know, steer the ministry in the way that we feel like God's asked us to, Sean did not want to sign with anybody. He was kind of like against the industry altogether. He wanted to keep it very pure and not let them come in and take things and, you know, do what there's this idea they come in and kind of do all this stuff and kind of take the heart and soul out of everything, you know, and kind of try to manufacture it so more people can get on board. And I'm like, hey, you know what? The message is so good. It's so self-speaking. We don't have to protect anything. Yeah. And so basically they asked us over 2.5 years ago, hey, we want to sign you guys. And we said no for 2 years.
Really?
And we kept meeting and building relationships with these guys. And the cool thing is Integrity is in Colorado Springs. And so it's actually headquartered 5 minutes from my house where I'm sitting right now. And so basically over years, everything started lining up. We kept saying no, 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 no. We don't want to do that. We're not interested in stages. We're not trying to get big. We're not trying to do anything besides let God do what he wants to do with it, including though I'm like, why can't he not want us to sign and get the message out even farther? Yeah. You know, and so we opened up that door, and finally it was almost like the evidence that God wanted us to go forward was so high stacked, you know, after 2 years, and the reasons why not were like not even there anymore.
Yeah.
And it became so obvious that this is something that God wanted to do. And, but we have to be okay with just letting it be what it is and letting it be an extension of what God's doing as opposed to being the next focus about what God wants us to do. Yeah. We got to keep it in the core, you know, otherwise it starts losing its core identity.
Well, Integrity sent me over a copy of your new record, and I've listened to it several times actually. And I have to tell you that it has a different sound and feel than your normal church worship record or even an artist worship record. You can feel and hear that there's something a little higher going on, and that it's not centered necessarily around one person or one group.
Right.
Maybe I'll find a better definition for it as the days go on. But it's
how about Bob? It's got a mob feel to it because there's different, and anybody can go off at any time, really. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. So, so this new record is coming out when?
Yeah. It's March 3rd. So it's next Tuesday. It's a week from yesterday.
Okay.
That's when the digital iTunes kind of stuff is going to be launched. Mm-hmm. And then the next day in the Christian bookstores, you're going to have all the records available on March 4th. And so that's when it's going to officially launch. And we're just excited to see what God wants to do with it.
And what's it called?
It's called Carry the Fire. And so it's Worship Mob, Carry the Fire. And it's a lot about our new identity in Christ. That's the whole message really involved in what we believe as a ministry. Because it takes off a lot of the stuff that keeps people kind of buried under, you know, the weight of some of the stuff put on our shoulders. And it allows them to walk and really just, hey, let God do what he does best and love you and create a path for your life without you having to be scared about every moment of it.
Yeah. What's your favorite song on the record?
You know, I helped write a lot of the songs. And so it's really, you know, there's a biasness for sure in this. But for me, it goes back and forth between two songs. I would say Love Outran Me has a special place in my heart. It was the first song God wrote. He told me to pick up a pen one day and the verses came flying out. It was the first song I ever wrote. But to me, really, the song that I really hope people get the best message, that I feel most like represents what we want, what we're about, is Arrested by Grace.
Yeah.
It's that song that talks about the verses, because it's really the story of my own life, and it has to do with like the weight, like I was talking about, of what I'm like trying so hard to follow Christ and trying so hard to get it right. It seemed like the harder I tried, the worse everything got. And I was like, I could never reach the top of that mountain of victory, it seemed like, in so many areas. And I'm like, oh my goodness, if I have a good heart and I'm trying as hard as I can and I like know Abba, and I still can't go, like, I can't imagine how hard it is for the believers out there who are trying to connect but have like issues. And it's like, it's almost like its own like huge weight. And so I think this song starts paving the way for a new view. And it's kind of like, hey, scripture already says these things are past done. We are righteous in Christ. We are already holy. We don't have to do something.
Right.
We are by identity. We're adopted. The God of the universe lives inside of us. He chose to live inside of you. That's how valuable you are.
Yeah.
And I just think that it bounces off of most people because they can't get around the do's. What we're finding is the power is in the be. It's who,
right,
not the do.
That's
it's true. Who you are that empowers the life of freedom and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going after.
Let's kind of wrap up our conversation. I want to ask you what you're dreaming about. I want to ask you, you know, where you see maybe the church going or where you would like to see. I mean, what's going on inside of you?
You know, oh my goodness, it's a tough one because there's so many things that I feel God birthing, you know, and it's really cool. But basically, it just segues right into the song Arrested by Grace again. You know, people that walk as if they have they shine because they know how loved they are. They don't have to go... You don't have to go out and beat people down with stuff. All you have to do is expose them to real agape love. And then all of a sudden, I'm finding people are so attracted to that. So what I'm really hoping is that there's this movement of unity around the idea of, hey, we actually love each other. It's not about all these specific doctrines. Those things are head. What happens is when we allow God to use us, and I really am believing that God's going to take off... again, the burdens off of the bride so that they can just shine, let Jesus through them shine because they are amazing. When I get into people's hearts and lives, it's like when they see themselves as kind of less than and they see God as kind of distant in their hearts almost exclusively, even the people that are the worship leaders. And they have deep insecurities. And so what I'm believing is God's going to get that love to such a core through people that are believing and watching and seeing people through the eyes of Christ, and all of a sudden judgment just fades away. When we can get like that, where we see people as of who they are in the spirit, you know, versus all their issues that we can point out, that to me would be a great start to be able to start bringing people together, saying, listen, we're all in the same boat in this thing together, and we're all, if I have a gift and I'm able to shine, that's only because I'm believing Christ in me is going to do this work. And you can believe that too.
Yeah.
And if you just take that step of faith, that trust, that, you know what, God is not like Zeus. He's actually like Abba Yahweh. He's actually there, and he's your best fan. He wants to love you more than you want to receive it. It's just the barriers. And so I would say a culture of vulnerability and really taking things out of the shadows without fear of judgment, just to bring people up through and see things as people's wounds as opposed to flaws inside of them. Yeah. Is stuff that wounded their lives. And so therefore you treat people with tenderness and care and compassion. And I'm finding everybody wants to be cared for deeply. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be loved. And if we can create that culture, if you actually care about the heart of people, then I feel like the rest just takes care of itself.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's what I'm believing for.
That's amazing. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat with me. I feel like we could talk about these things all day. So many similarities and parallels between what you're saying and even what we're seeing in different groups around the world. I know certainly here where we're at in Southwest Missouri, we're seeing that same thing happen. The dynamics between members of churches are going away as far as, seeing the differences like you talked about.
Yeah.
And just, you see people starting to call out the gold in other people and value a connection rather than being right about
something. That's it, man.
Yeah.
So. One of them, the Bible says it puffs you up and it makes you feel secure in what you know. And unfortunately, that doesn't actually provide security. it's the only thing I've ever found secure in is the fact that I am unequivocally valuable and loving to God. Therefore, he's going to use me to love other people. And it's on him through me. I'm just going to let him, take me through the refiner's fires of my life so that the gold can really shine, of who I already am in Christ. And that to me is a message I can tell we share because I can see it in your eyes, brother. And that message will never fail because everybody wants a piece of love.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how can everybody connect with Worship Mob socially and otherwise?
Well, we have a Facebook group that we started like 3 or 4 years ago. It's up to, 35,000 people now or something. And there's different groups. But if you go to like Facebook, worshipmob.com, on Facebook, you can see all the updates and videos. We just released a video yesterday, brand new video called Our Father Has Won. It's pretty awesome. The song is amazing. People are going to love it. And it's going to be the second track on the album that released. And so that is one way. And then coming soon, our website at worshipmob.com is getting a large overhaul. And so when that's done, that's going to turn to be the hub of everything once we can get that all ready to go. We've run on such small budgets, it's really hard to get the stuff necessary ready to go. But that's what we're working on right now. So Facebook right now, and then I would say our worshipmob.com in about a month or so.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks so much, Garrett.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure, and I'm so glad. And honestly, if there's anything that I can do in the future, I just love connecting with lighthearted peoples. We have to know we're not alone in this thing.
Yeah.
God is moving all around the world, groups of people, into the grace and the freedom and who they are in Christ. And that is something worth being a part of.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.